Well, hey, everyone. Welcome back to Laundry, Yard Work, and Jesus, the parent pod of First Baptist Church Dandridge. I'm Pastor Josh.
I'm Pastor Joe.
And we are so thankful that you have hopped on again to this wild and crazy ride that we call a podcast.
Yeah. So we have been going through Julie Lowe's book, Childproof, Parenting by Faith, Not Formula. And we're really about to kind of cross a line here in the book where we're going to start getting into the real practical, nitty-gritty, you know, specific situations type of thing. So I'm really looking forward to this. We're going to do a couple chapters today.
Yeah, it'll be good. And before we jump into the chapter, there's actually a current event that I think helps us, helps set this conversation up well, if I can make my words work.
They're hard. Okay. Words are hard.
Words are hard. That's like our hashtag around here.
Yeah, pretty much.
Did you see that boat crash into the bridge?
It was terrifying. Yeah, so we're talking about the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. As of recording, this is a pretty recent event.
Yep.
Just seeing this out-of-control barge slam into a bridge and just watching how easily the bridge collapsed mm-hmm. was terrifying.
Yes, it was. It was just insane to watch it all just kind of buckle. It's also been insane to see the conspiracy theories around it because, you know, I'm a conspiracy theory.
I was wondering where you were going to go with that. Yeah.
But not that I believe these conspiracy theories. I just like to see all of them come out and just I'm here for it. It's like entertainment.
You're like the guy. I imagine if this was like 60 years ago, 70 years ago, you'd be the dude on the front porch with the bug zapper. Like you're not a fan of bugs, but you see them all swarming to the bug zapper just to watch them fry. You're there for that kind of low-level chaos.
Not going to lie, as a kid, I thought bug zappers were cool.
They are cool. We're already sidetracked. I saw a fly swatter that was also a bug zapper the other day, and I legit almost bought it.
I bet you did.
I don't even have that many bugs at my house other than shield bugs, which I don't think it would work on. But
back to the bridge.
Back to the bridge.
Yeah, it was crazy to see that massive bridge that did so much good for our country, for the city, just crumble in moments. Yeah. And it just made me think how important bridges are. And this chapter today is all about building bridges with our kids. And when we were talking about this beforehand, you had mentioned the rebuild of all that.
Yeah.
And what's going to go into it.
Yeah. So, I'm a Florida transplant. And I left for college right around the time. So Florida had, Florida's got hurricanes every year. But there was one year in particular. We had about five large hurricanes. And Hurricane Ivan came through Pensacola, which is where my family was, kind of my neck of the woods. And there's a Pensacola Bay Bridge there. And Hurricane Ivan picked up the bridge and sent it out into the Gulf of Mexico. And this bridge is big. It's about a mile long or so.
Nice.
And just huge chunks of it just swept away. And my mom was in Pensacola, so she was like, they were landlocked. They were stranded from the rest of the state for a while. They had to get help from Alabama, so God bless them. So when I wanted to like visit home, most of my entire time in college would be going over that bridge, which was no longer really possible. And what struck me was just how long it took to build a new bridge. Mm. It took months for there to even be a temporary bridge where you could like have the grate where you could kind of look down through and see the water underneath, which was kind of scary, not gonna lie. But it legitimately took 3-4 years before they built a replacement bridge to kind of fill that gap. And so when we talk about building bridges with our kids, we're talking about relational bridges, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think the principle is the same, is that this is not something that you're going to do overnight. This is not a one and done. This isn't just having a good weekend with your kids. This is going to be a time-consuming, God-glorifying, joy-giving endeavor for your entire parenting life. Like, when I think of this, I think, if you want to have a relationship with your kids whenever they're 15, 16, 17, 18, 22, 23, God bless you. You got 15, 16, 17, 18 years to do that. But you have to be intentional about it. Otherwise, they're not going to exist. Those lanes aren't going to exist when you need them.
And that's 100% right, because just like over time, a river or a creek will erode the banks that, and then create a need for a bridge, the sin in our hearts do the same thing with the relationships between us and our kids. Is over time, their need for independence, their differences, the way sin just kind of breaks us to where when we're all in these families and tight quarters, and we just have this tendency to turn away from each other.
Yeah.
This tendency to just isolate, to walk away. And then we live in a culture that encourages that for the most part. I think of whether it's AirPods or iPads or TV or whatever it is, we are built to just drift into all about me.
Absolutely. You could be in the same room on the same couch with someone and be completely far away from them.
That's right. Might as well be in a different world.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so in this environment, knowing our own brokenness, we have to have that intentionality.
Absolutely.
Building bridges. And I love in the book how she talks about this is also us fighting for a level of parental authority in the life of our kids, because all of those voices that speak into their life, all the friends they make, that's going to have an influence in their life. And
yeah.
As parents, it's our responsibility to try and maintain that authority that God has given us by building those bridges. So as we think about that, what can that look like? Just trying to be practical, what can it look like to build bridges to our kids?
Yeah, and I think it's going to differ from child to child. But what I just want to kind of, you said it very well, but I kind of want to underline best as I can. It really is on us to take the initiative on this. Every child is different. So I've got three children. I've got one child who will ask me to play with them and hang out with them every day, and within like 15 minutes of seeing me when I get home from work, and probably again before they go to bed. And if I could give every minute of my weekend to them, then they would be thrilled. You know?
Yep.
I've got one kid who will come to me whenever they're bored. And we'll want to play, which, you know, happens on a fairly regular basis.
Kids get bored?
Kids, apparently.
Really?
There's a whole chapter on that we're going to talk about.
Huh. Okay.
But yeah, down the line. And then I've got another child who is not like, there's not a bad relationship there by any stretch, but they're not initiative takers. They are very happy. They're a bit more introverted. They're very happy to just kind of read a book, listen to music, and kind of do their own thing. So, as a dad, I have to know my kids, and even though I'm tired, even though I'm kind of worn out, even though, you know, it's not always convenient, it really is on me to take the initiative and meet them. So, and build time into the days and the weeks to build those relationships, which are going to look different for every child.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's good to know that it is different for every child. And a lot of times it may include us as parents doing things that we have no desire to do. You know, I told you this before, I'm going to spoil a movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got spoiled.
I know you did. So if you're listening to this and you've not seen the movie, I apologize. But
I'm not putting timestamps in for this discussion, by the way.
Okay.
I'm not good enough at editing to do that.
Well, I'm giving you a chance now to just start fast forwarding. And but there was a movie that came out several years ago, probably over a decade now, called Fireproof. It was one of those Christian movies back when like new good Christian movies were a thing.
Oh yeah.
And I remember I had gone on a date with the girl I was dating at that point, and we were watching this movie. And you know, I'm a recovering Christian school college student at that point. And so I am hesitant about Christian movies anyway. And I remember this dad and this little girl riding in a truck together, and they have a car wreck. And they have to take the little girl to the hospital. And I thought, it's a Christian movie. The little girl's not going to die. And then she died. And it was like, holy smokes, they just really did this. And then they kind of show the aftermath of what it was like to live in that and how God was gracious and all, as Christian movies do. But part of that was they had an older son that the dad didn't really connect with. And the mom one day walks in as this dad is struggling and says, hey, don't forget that God's given you another child. And he basically says, well, he didn't want anything to do with me. We have nothing in common. And she pushes him to walk into his world, which meant buying new running shoes for them and going running, even though he was a out of shape, overweight man in his 40s. He starts running with his teen, and they kind of show this picture of what that looks like to build that bridge when all hope seems lost. And I think it's helpful for me when we had this conversation to think about that, of there's often going to be times with my kids, even now, that they like things that I just don't want to do, or I don't have the energy to do, or whatever it is. But part of what the responsibility God has put in my life as a father and our lives as parents is to walk into their world. And we can even get really theological and nerdy here and talk about how that's embodying the incarnation of Christ coming to us when he didn't have to. And so I think all of this notion of building bridges is just such a rich and helpful topic as we look at it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what does that actually look like kind of on the day-to-day? And so we're going to kind of share what we do, but understand that, one, when we say what we're doing, we don't do it perfectly. We don't always do it super consistently. But also, that's not necessarily the right way. It's just what we're attempting to do. Yep. And I think making the effort is a big part of this. So it's not going to look different for, you know, it might look different for you than it does for us. But I was just going to try to give you some ideas of what that might be. So I kind of look at it daily, weekly, and monthly.
Okay.
So once the weekly is kind of the easiest. The weekly is we have a family night. Friday nights, as best as we can, you know, ministry happens sometimes, but as best we can, we try to block off our Friday nights for our family night. And we rotate who gets to be in charge of a family night. Every member gets to do it, and they get to choose. When it's your family night, you get to choose what food we're eating. So this is probably going to be the night, if we can only eat out once this week, this is going to be the night we're probably going to do it.
Yeah.
Where we're eating. And what we're doing. So usually it involves like a movie or binge watching a favorite TV show. We watched so much Bluey the other night, or whatnot. And a lot of times it's not, again, you know, when it's my 4-year-old's family night, that's not necessarily going to appeal to me or Danielle or anybody else in the family, but it really matters to the kid that it's his turn to get to choose.
Yeah.
What they get to do. And so it's not necessarily all day, but it's just a couple hours on a Friday night where we kind of eat and we are together, and the kids know we're going to be together and they look forward to this and they think about it. On a daily basis, I try to, and again, this is where I'm least consistent, but I try to spend about 20, I've got 3 children, so I try to spend 20 minutes with each child a day, getting to do something that they want to do, whether it's playing a video game or whatnot. And that's easier with some of my kids than it is with others, because that's, one, it's after work when I'm tired, but it's an hour.
Yeah.
You know, it's a manageable block of time, and we're trying to spend that time together where we can talk or we engage and have fun. And then usually about once a month, don't have a strict calendar, but I just kind of keep a mental clock on it. Mm. I try to do something special with each of the kids. A lot of times with my oldest, I take her to Starbucks. What we'll do is like she's got a spelling test coming up. I'll just single her out. We'll just have a day and night, and I'll just take her to Starbucks for a little bit. We'll work on the spelling list for like 10 minutes, and then we'll spend 20 or 30 minutes just kind of chatting and talking. And
yeah.
I try to include them on things like when I have to make a Walmart run, taking one child, not all of them, trying to keep track of what it is, just to get that one-on-one extra time kind of as we're going. And an important thing I'd say with all this is that, because, you know, we're big on family worship, right? Building habits to focus our families on Christ.
Yeah.
This ain't that.
Sure. Yeah.
This is not a time for Bible study or it is discipleship. It is relationship building, but this is a time just to kind of do fun and talking. This is not lecture time. This is not.
Yeah.
This is just kind of focused. Let's talk about how things are going with you. If we want to talk, or if we're just going to laugh, play, wrestle on the bed, whatever it's going to be. This is just kind of fun time to try to build those relationships.
Yeah, and if spiritual conversations come up,
of course,
that's a wonderful thing too.
Absolutely, that does happen sometimes, but that's not usually the intent.
Yeah, and that's not the goal. You're not going there with four Bible questions that you're going to pepper them with while you're doing it. You're just building connections.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. That's valuable. So for us, again, we don't do this. We're not experts at all.
Right.
But some of the things that I feel like have been helpful are I take the kids to school just about every morning. And so one of the things that I've tried to do is instead of us just listening to music and kind of drifting off into our own space, is we play little car games. We made up one. I think my daughter made one up called Rainbow.
Uh-huh.
Basically, you just got to find colored cars that walk through the rainbow.
Oh, that's cool.
And so we'll play that. We'll play this. There's a lot of cows in Jefferson County.
There are a lot of cows.
So every time we drive by a cow field, you'll just say, "My cows." And so we play, just little car games. And that's just been a way for us to have connection in a silly way, but it's a thing they enjoy. It's a thing that they'll start or I'll start it. And it's just been a way for connection to be maintained on the way to school. And conversations come up during that time. And it's just been a helpful way for us. We also will do, whether it's daddy-daughter dates or father-son hangouts, just different things like that. If I tell my daughter, "Hey, you want to go to Chick-fil-A?" She's down for it all the time, every time. And so those type of things have been helpful. The other thing that we have tried to do a really good job of is making connecting at bedtime, at least with our kids being younger. And I hope and I pray that that helps as time goes on. But one of the things that we do is my daughter calls them big hugs. And so she just she won't go to bed unless she gets to jump off her bed and I catch her in midair, because that's what she does. She's 6 years old and it's great.
Mm-hmm.
And then my son wants me to do some form of wrestling move on him. It was F5 for a while, which if you're wrestling fans, you'll know what that is.
Oh, yeah.
But those type of things are what he wants, and it's fun, and it's just a way for us to laugh together. And even though it's not a ton of time, I feel like we get so much ground covered in 5 minutes.
Absolutely.
Of just laughing and playing that maybe 2 hours wouldn't have done what that 5 minutes did.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just trying to be consistent and intentional. Mm-hmm. Caring about the child.
Yeah.
If you're taking the time to listen to this, should be a joy-giving thing to you. You like your children, usually.
Yes.
And I say usually. You always love your children. You'll like your children most of the time. Sometimes it's difficult. But this, like any other relationship, you gotta have that time to smile with each other. You gotta have that time to do that. And so, as we build these relationships, these can help us get through troubled times whenever those come up.
Yeah, and I like how you mentioned this. We'll try and use this as a transition point. Sometimes it is difficult. And sometimes building these bridges and connections, it's difficult because maybe our child's difficult. Maybe they're into things that are difficult to connect with.
Sure.
And so what does it look like to enter the world of a difficult child and to walk through that?
I'm glad you asked, because that's the next chapter in the book. Good segue.
Right, see?
They don't see your finger points, but you're very proud about that.
I am.
So when we're talking about parenting a difficult child or a child going through difficult times and difficult circumstances, I think it helps us to remember, first off, to not be surprised when these things come up. Because you are a sinner. And your child is a sinner. Lord willing, you're redeemed.
Yeah.
Hopefully your child is redeemed too, but they might not be yet. And if they are, they're still very young in their faith. But they're also still developing emotions and such. We talk about difficult child, and sometimes children can kind of be annoying or being into difficult things. It's because children go through this stage where they don't know how to handle social situations yet. And I know there have been times when my wife has looked at me and been like, "I can't believe he's talking like this or saying this," like not saying bad things, but just like, "He's just getting on my nerves." I'm like, "I know. That was me when I was 8. I know I drove people crazy. I drive people crazy now, but I remember being even more awkward whenever I was growing up,
Yep.
So there's just a whole mess of issues that are dealing with when you're talking about difficult situations, what things that can lead into it. So it's important that we keep our focus on our parenting, on what really matters. We check our hearts, we check our motivations against Scripture, and make sure we're coming at it from the right angle.
Yeah, and speaking of right angles, I like how she, going back to this idea of faith over formula, in this chapter she talks about there's this misconception that a right formula is if you love and discipline and give godly instruction, you will have good kids. And it just doesn't work that way.
Right.
And sometimes you do everything to the best of your ability. You seek to honor God, and yet you still have a difficult kid. And at that point, you're trusting the Lord. And some of this is just learning to continue to be faithful and trust that God is doing more than what you can see as you walk with a child that's just being difficult.
Absolutely, because children are sinners, and so are you. So anytime you have that kind of relational breakdown, it's important that we develop kind of skills and to develop a godly perspective on ourselves and on marriage. Calvin said that the most important thing we can do is to know who God is, because knowing who God is helps us to realize who we are. I paraphrased that, so there's some helpful kind of analysis. When you're coming into a difficult parenting situation, I think this is broadly true, to do some self-reflection. Where can we improve? Where we can happen? So on page 114, she gives four. She says, is my parent loving? Is my parenting loving? Am I expressing during the situation to the child that I am valuing them, that I want good outcomes for them? Not just in the word you're saying, but in the tone you're saying things, your attitude towards. Is it consistent? Are you consistent in your rules and in your judgments and in his going? Is it wise? So, you know, there's the old analogy of the carrot and the stick, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes the carrot works and sometimes the stick works. And sometimes you have to figure out, is your parenting strategy accomplishing the goals that it's trying to accomplish? Mm. And then, is it fair and just? Are you doing things in a way that properly reflects God and his heart and his attitude and his order?
Yeah.
And so when we look at these things through kind of like a grid, we can usually see areas that we need to improve or we need to rethink. But also, you're the parent. You're mature enough to be able to do this. Your child is not. You're trying to give them those skills. That's the whole point of parenting, right?
Yeah.
Or a part of it. And so you could be doing everything well. And like you just said, the formula doesn't necessarily equal to an obedient, well-behaved kid. Or you could end up with an obedient, well-behaved kid who's still far from Christ, and that's not the goal either.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think it's also important when we're having this conversation to remember that this kid could also be that 17-year-old or that 16-year-old who looks like everything is great. It's a good kid otherwise, but the relationship's just been difficult. And I think when you take that humility and say, okay, God, let's run through this, those things. Is it wise? Is it biblical? Am I being consistent? Am I loving? And then maybe it's just the fact that, you know what? This is just a difficult season, and I'm going to be faithful through it, and I'm going to trust God through it. And I think when we have those attitudes, it allows us to have a better chance of maintaining the influence in the life as parent, in the life of our kids as their parents, regardless of their age.
Absolutely. When we hit those kind of struggles, it doesn't necessarily mean our parenting is failing. It could mean that this is exactly why God has put you in this situation to parent in the first place.
Yes.
This struggle that you're trying to avoid may be why you're there in the first place to help them through. So keep on parenting.
That's right.
Keep on loving. Keep on praying. You know, rely on the Holy Spirit to be at work.
Yeah.
Always. She kind of ends with this. She says, if you are discouraged in your parenting, do not hang your head. Consider your heart, check your motives, and trust God with the results. His mercies for your child and for you are new every morning. As we are discipling our kids, we are being discipled too. We're not We're not arrived yet. Our children are good for our spiritual walk, and we're supposed to be good for their spiritual walk as well. It's a miraculous. This is why families are designed by God. This isn't just a social construct that we put together, because this would fall apart otherwise.
Yeah, 100%. And I love that just word of encouragement, that word of encouragement to not give up. Don't hang your head and throw in the towel. Trust God, be faithful, and trust that he can do more than what you can see happening.
Absolutely. So kind of last question to end on out, mm-hmm. something for you to think through. How are you intentionally building bridges with your child? What are there any activities that you can engage in or time that you can do, like you said, car rides or bedtimes or things they like to do? Are there ever times you let your kids be in charge of the entertainment, like where you're they might really be in charge of the entertainment, but where you're making that special, say, hey, yeah, you're in charge of that. You've got me. You own mommy. You own daddy for the next 30 minutes. What are we going to do?
Yeah.
You got me. Undivided attention. Put the phone away. You know?
That's right.
So think those things through. Always rely on scripture. Always pray. Always trust God. And, man, we hope that this has been helpful for you guys.
Definitely.
So until next time, I'm Joe.
And I'm Josh.
Hey, and we will catch you next time.